all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota. It is another beautiful day up north. It is Tuesday, April 25th, and it is again the need to bundle up for the bus stop. That need is with us yet again. 28 degrees up here on Lake Wissota, 30 in Wausau, 31 in Green Bay. Pretty much everything running, you know, 10 plus degrees below normal. Seems that's going to be the way things go for the next several days here. So we'll keep you updated on the forecast. We are also aware of the breaking news that came out about an hour ago. If you missed it, President Joe Biden formally announced his campaign for re-election. He released a video confirming what we've all been assuming for a long time. At least most of us have assumed this for a long time. It seems like national media has the need to speculate about something every waking moment. So now that President Biden has formally announced he's running for a re-election, perhaps the national media can speculate about other things, like whether white supremacist Tucker Carlson will be equally adept at racist bullying in some new role on basic cable. Speculate on whether Aaron Rodgers will find a way as a New York Jet to be so anti-vax that he finds a way to remove the polio vaccine from his body and then spends his later years in an iron lung. We will not be speculating on such matters here because we have great guests and great topics for you on this Tuesday. One of our guests will help us spread a little Wisconsin sense about respecting the sacrifices of others, fellow Americans who died for our ability to enjoy the freedoms that come with democracy. As long as we are willing to call out those who are hostile to democracy and defend what we have here in the United States and not take it for granted. It's Chippewa Falls teacher and author John Kinville who will be joining us at about 7:15. He has published a new book that recounts the life of one of Wisconsin's first World War II casualties. Through letters sent to family and friends, Harry Kramer paints a picture of life in that pre-war depression era period, when a decision by a young man in Chippewa Falls to pursue a career in the U.S. Navy led to working on a battleship on the West Coast that would eventually be stationed in Pearl Harbor. That'll be in our next hour. Coming up in a few minutes here, how not to fix the Wisconsin labor shortage. We will be talking to State Assembly Rep. Robin Vining of Wauwatosa about a package of bills being taken up today in the State Assembly that Republicans have authored and are using to somehow blame poor people for the state's labor shortage, when Representative Vining lets us know the answer is much more family-friendly. You just have to be willing to acknowledge a problem and address it, and she will again ask her Republican colleagues to address these family issues that could help out with the Wisconsin labor shortage. Also at 6:30, Christina Lurie will highlight some of the uplifting stories that she adds to our daily newsletter. That newsletter comes out every morning at about 5 a.m. and did this morning. And it includes 26 different state legislators talking about the perfect day in their district. So it's all about, you know, the good places to go in Wisconsin. So you'll want to check that out. And also, she has a note about the history of job growth under President Biden and that these have been the strongest 2 years of job growth in history. Seems like a really good time to announce that you're going to be running for re-election. Aaron Zommers is with us as well, joining us from the studios in Madison. Good morning, Mr. Zommers.
Good morning, Pat.
The Packers have lost Aaron Rodgers. The Bucks have lost again to Miami. The Brewers have lost to Detroit. We have lost the ability to have warm spring-like temperatures in Wisconsin. So, Aaron, be our ray of sunshine. Tell us something good to look forward to.
Make sure to drink plenty of water and maybe just stay hydrated, stay positive. I don't know.
I like that. See, that's I knew if I threw that on you, I'd get a pearl of wisdom, and honest to goodness, hydration is key. I think we all understand that. So, so drink your water, get out, get some fresh air. It's a little chilly, but you know, it's worth doing. Aaron doesn't sit in that closet all day long. He gets out and about.
Yeah. Just most of it.
Yeah. Most of the day we're sitting here on the inside. My wife pushes me out the door, you know, every couple of days or so and says, go outside and play, get some fresh air. And thank God for her doing that. Hey, if you have comments on any of the day's top stories, or an opinion you want to share with a statewide radio audience on more than half a dozen stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, you can call, you can comment, you can email, you can call at 844-967-2789. The Up North line is 715-388-7155, and the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you are instead watching our live video feed on Facebook, you can comment there. And if we see your comment and like it, we can put it up on the live feed here. We're on the Facebook pages of Up North News, of Civic Media, and of Bull Falls Radio. And Aaron, I think in terms of housekeeping here in our first segment, we only have to mention yet again that we're going to give away 4 tickets to tonight's Brewers game against Detroit. Now, don't give it away. I did give you the trivia question and answer, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Look, we have a very simple premise here. Aaron and I were talking yesterday. We used these tickets on Friday night. These are awesome tickets. So if you are anywhere in the area that you can get to the game tonight and can have the tickets emailed to you, you're going to want to call in at 6:50 to a pretty simple Brewers trivia question. And bang, just like that, you've got 4 tickets for tonight's game. So stick around for that coming up at 6:50. All right, as you've already heard, lots of news to get to. We'll cover some more of it coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday. The truth is, it's a very high mountain now for the Milwaukee Bucks to climb. They are down 3-1. Again, they're the number one overall seed in the NBA playoffs. But Jimmy Butler for the Miami Heat had the game of his life, and the Miami Heat had a comeback for the ages. Butler scored 56 points. The Heat roared from 14 points down in the final quarter to stun the Bucks 119-114 on Monday night. Miami never had the lead until there was 3 minutes left in the game after going on a 13-0 run. What a collapse. Brooke Lopez had 36 for the Bucks. Giannis was back. He had a triple-double, but it was not enough. And so the Bucks face elimination in Milwaukee tomorrow night. 8:30 tip-off in Milwaukee at the Fiserv Forum. So the Bucks are that close to losing out in the first round of the playoffs to an 8 seed. Brewers lost to the Tigers 4-2. It is the first time that they've lost back-to-back games all season. So a minor setback, but still, we have tickets for tonight's game where hopefully they come roaring back and you can be a part of it, calling in at 6:50 when we go to give it away. Now, as mentioned, the Wisconsin State Assembly has a session today, and again, rather than looking for common ground with Governor Evers and trying to get a state budget done, and instead of sitting on a $7 billion surplus, the Wisconsin Assembly is going to use your time and tax dollars today to pass a series of bills basically meant to, you know, make it harder for the newly jobless to get benefits, to get health care and such. Yesterday, I talked to State Representative Robin Vining from Wauwatosa to get her take on these bills, because she had told us earlier about the way the bills were kind of, you know, slipped under the radar and kind of being rushed through. So we wanted to ask her about that, and she has a very simple solution to the state's labor shortage as well. Let's give a listen. We're joined now on Up North News Radio by State Representative Robin Vining of Wauwatosa and West Dallas. Representative, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Hey, we've been talking about, it started on Twitter, as these things do, where I saw you make note of something. And first, you know, A note for the listeners. We're going to talk about process for a minute, as well as the policy. And people say, well, nobody wants to hear about process. I talk about process because I think it's a way of pulling back the curtain and showing, you know, how people operate and what are their values. And in this case, we're talking about the, you know, the sometimes sneaky way that bills are or are not worked on, because the bills are your business, you the people. So this all started with you saying that you're on the Assembly Health Committee, that the committee hasn't really done much. But then you get kind of this vague notice that a meeting is coming, but you're not really sure what it's for. What can you take us back to how that exactly unfolded?
Sure. We had a hold for the Committee on Health, a committee that in 3.5 months had heard zero bills. And Committee on Health coming out of the pandemic, and we've heard zero bills in 3.5 months. So we had a hold, and then but we didn't know what we'd be hearing. About less than 48 hours from that, from what we were holding for, from Wednesday, we got notice that we would be hearing three bills.
And these are bills that, again,
less than 48 hours.
Yeah. So you can't really prepare research to talk to the bill's author or any witnesses that they might be bringing in as part of a public hearing, which, again, I'm trying to get people, do not normalize the way things are operating right now, because it's not the normal way. You normally give people the courtesy of knowing what legislation is going to come up so that you can have an intelligent discussion about it. In this case, are we talking about tell me about the bills that were coming up, what they would all do if passed.
Just to add on to one thing that you just said, I'll go a little farther. What we tend to do to prep is to go into our committee and see which bills are in our committee and see, oh, maybe it's one of these, which I did do. But it didn't end up being that, because it ended up being a brand new bill that they were introducing late and rushing through. So I'm sorry, you asked me another question, but I just wanted to make that quick point.
Yeah,
too.
As far as, but the bills would do things like, the, you know, my shorthand has been, you know, now twice a year, they want you to, again, you know, prove that you're poor, you know, and basically need to be vetted yet again to, you know, keep the health insurance coverage that is keeping you and your family from bankruptcy.
Yes. So part of what the bill does is it makes you reapply more often for Medicaid. And it also takes away auto population fields. It just makes it harder. And I think, like, life is already hard when you are enduring financial instability. Life is already hard. And this is much harder.
Especially when you have a majority that continues. I mean, starting with the Speaker of the Assembly, making the claim that any kind of Medicaid is welfare, which is hardly a way to describe a program that has helped so many people of what you might call the working poor. These are folks with jobs, but through their job or through their income, otherwise wouldn't have any health care coverage for their family.
Right. And I think that's part of the point is Republicans want to create this narrative that that unemployed people are lazy. And that is terribly unfair. It is an unfair narrative. Life is hard. We are running a race. We're just running this race. Nobody's laying in a hammock. People are running race, and it's getting harder and harder. There's more and more hurdles getting put on the track, right? And we're just running and running and running. And now there's more hurdles, and the hurdles get taller. So I think I just do want to say, like, it is hard to be poor. Second, we're not talking exclusively about people who are not working. We're talking about the working poor. I'll never forget being at a food kitchen that I worked at as a photographer and noticing the difference when all of a sudden people were wearing work badges when they were coming to eat. And I said, hey, this seems different. And people who work there regularly said, yes, it is. We're now seeing a lot more people who are working who have food insecurity. So we have working poor who need food, working poor who need health insurance.
And to keep them in the workforce at all and to keep other people in the workforce doesn't just require health insurance coverage through Medicaid if need be, but you've also been very vocal, as have many, about the need to address childcare, for example. This is something, too, that the legislature could be working on, but near as I can tell, has done very little to improve the situation.
Right. So this is what I talk about when I feel like we're in this race. We're running this race and there's hurdles getting put on the track. And one of those hurdles getting put on the track is lack of access to affordable childcare. And so people are trying to work, but they cannot work because of the hurdle is keeping them from it. And so when we talk about workforce, if Republicans want to talk about expanding the workforce, we've got half of Wisconsin telling you right now, childcare isn't affordable. People want to work. They cannot work without access to affordable childcare. Now, if you expand childcare access, you expand the workforce. It's actually very simple. And so the act of doing that is going to be complex, but let's stop pretending that we don't know how to expand the workforce. We know how to expand the workforce, expand childcare.
And I actually missed a step in between, not only just expanding healthcare coverage to people, especially if they're thinking of, you know, starting a family and getting into the workforce and getting childcare, but right now, Wisconsin could do more with its Medicaid coverage for women who are postpartum, who are pregnant or whose babies are under a year old. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly's been on the show many times to talk about the health issues that these women face. And that, again, a very simple fix could be for members of both parties to agree to cover postpartum care for a longer period.
And an important fix too, and a bipartisan fix, and a fix that states across the country have enacted. We're one of the few states left that have not expanded postpartum Medicaid coverage to the full year postpartum. And this is in a time when we know that in 2021, 40% increase in postpartum deaths. We are at a place of like maternal health crisis. And we know that there is a solution. And guess what? It's a bipartisan solution. And in the Senate, they had a 3-hour hearing with full support. We have a tremendous number of co-sponsors. I haven't verified, but I hear it's 60-something. So we have the votes. So we have in our health committee right now a bill with massive bipartisan support that could save women's lives. And that's something that we can and should be doing right now.
Can and should, but as we've seen session after session, some folks maybe think, well, maybe that'll be included in the budget bill, or maybe it'll be one of those things that passes late in the session. But what I still don't understand is why you would wait till late into the session when you have something that is common sense and has bipartisan support. And then also why you would have bills like the ones that we started our discussion with that you know Governor Evers is going to veto them. So maybe instead of making that statement and taking that all the way through the process, how about if we work toward areas where we can get agreement? I would have thought maybe that would start to take root in this session, given what the voters did last November, but it does not seem to be the case yet, does it?
It doesn't. And it's astounding, isn't it? We have so many needs before us, and we do have some solutions. And we have bipartisan support on some of them, and we can't get the votes. It's astounding. I am a Wisconsinite, but if I were the constituents of Republicans who are choosing to attack the poor right now instead of solve problems that save lives and actually help the economy, I'd be furious with my representation.
Yeah, this is what we're going to have for a little while longer. I've made the case many times that while a lot of legislators appear to be intransigent on this or that, they do in fact hear from their constituents. And while it doesn't make a difference overnight, would it be your recommendation that folks with Republican legislators still get in touch with them and say what they like so that those legislators can see the needle moving in their district?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's always important. I will always say your voice matters. Contact your legislators. If you're not being heard, keep contacting your legislators. Your Republicans have budget buddies. Those are buddies that sit on the Joint Finance Committee. You can reach out to them and say, make sure you're telling your budget buddy that we want to see postpartum Medicaid expansion. We want to see childcare counts funded and included in the budget. I mean, I would love to see 100 mothers across Wisconsin contact their Republican legislators and let them know what childcare access means to them and to their lives and to their families.
State Representative Robin Vining from Wauwatosa and West Dallas, so nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
So again, the State Assembly will be taking up this package of bills today and again, making their statement that in their mind, the way to address the labor shortage is through punitive actions, that you don't get help if you're newly unemployed. You don't get help to learn some new skills so you can get a better paying job. Representative Vining put it very succinctly. When you expand childcare, you're going to expand the labor force. It's that simple. Just be family friendly. Coming up Thursday, we'll talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Coming up next, The Uplift with Christina Laurie. She writes the newsletter for Up North News and takes some of the uplifting stories and shares them with us on Tuesday mornings. And we will hear from her coming up after this break. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
6:33 now, and we are going to take some time this morning with Christina Laurie from Up North News and do The Uplift, some of the stories on the positive sides of things that you can find in the daily newsletter she puts together. Have you heard me say this before? I'm going to say it again. UpNorthNewsWI.com, top banner, click newsletter, subscribe, and 5 days a week you'll get what Christina's putting together for us. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Your promo is working because I do sometimes get emails from people saying, I heard about your newsletter on the show, just signed up. See? So we're always happy to have more people.
There we go. Happy.
And I can
happy.
Promise you that we're giving you a very quality product.
I'm just happy to see it because when the newsletter started, when we started it on, you know, like the January 3rd of 2020, you know, it went to six people, me and five other people that were in a room at the time. And it's grown a bit from six people to, you know, tens of thousands of folks around Wisconsin. And that makes us very happy. And we always welcome more. So come on board, folks. All right. So part of the uplift includes, I would call this a quintessentially Wisconsin uplift because the first two items are about the gas station you associate with the Badger State, and that would be Quick Trip. Somebody's got to be Quick Trip's number one fan, and you have found that person. You're going to tell us about her.
Well, I even hesitate to call Quick Trip a gas station because anytime I bring that up to anyone who loves it, they quickly jump in and assure me like it's much more than a gas station. Like, I know, but I still feel like that's the overarching branch it falls in. I mean, they sell everything. I mean, it's basically could be a takeout restaurant. Of course, they sell gas, convenience store. They always have really clean restrooms. It's a solid stopping point if you're on a long road trip. Right. But I think I found Quick Trip's number one fan. Her name is Cassandra Berger, and she visited all 457 stores that are in Wisconsin and counting in one calendar year. She decided to do it during the pandemic, and she had started slightly before, and then during the pandemic, she found herself really missing Quick Trip. So then in 2021, she decided to hit all of them in one calendar year, and it made quite the challenge. You said, when I was bringing up the story to you initially, Pat, you mentioned that you hope she earned a place on their payroll. And I said, kind of. I mean, they wanted to capitalize on this so much, they made her their brand ambassador, and she's been in some commercials, and she always posts about them on Instagram. But I don't know that anyone else has visited all 457. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, now, unless you're somebody that is actually working within the company. And so, you know, good on her. And look, we're not going to turn this into a big entire commercial for Quick Trip, but you see the reasons why it's grown. It's got, you know, they very much work on service and friendliness at the counter. I remember the thing that first drew me to them many, many years ago were two things. One, that their ATMs didn't charge. And at that point, some of those ATM fees were getting ridiculous elsewhere. So I made it a point to stop there because I didn't want to be nickel and dimed. And then the clean restrooms. Well, then you start adding the food and everything else. And you see how it got to be such a part of the local landscape. So why wouldn't they have a number one fan? And if you can go from influencer to brand ambassador, I mean, good on you. So we've got that story from her, which takes us to the second story, which is related because we think we know Quick Trips pretty well because they're, like I said, they're all over the place. Some of them are within a block of each other because you got to take advantage of the traffic patterns. But there are some things you might not know you're telling us.
And Pat, I'm glad you mentioned the part about not wanting to be an ad for Quick Trip, because we definitely teeter the line in news between writing about something and then advertising for it. But Quick Trip, I did feel good writing a story about them because they are a Wisconsin-based company, so much so, and they're so beloved here that they got a new owner in January. It's the son of the former president and CEO, and he actually stepped down from his position at the Mayo Clinic as a trauma surgeon to run Quick Trip. So that's how much he believes in the brand and wants to continue that family-owned, Wisconsin-owned tradition, which is something that you can feel good about. Something else, you know, you think like, okay, great, he's CEO, but what's in it for the workers? Well, they actually, his dad, the current owner's dad, created a great legacy of being one of only among a few companies that offers all employee stock ownership in the company and shares 40% of pre-tax profits with all coworkers. So they do their best is when it comes to the world of big business to treat their employees fairly. Just something else that I thought was interesting that I don't know if everyone knows is that the company credits a lot of its success to the way it does business. It uses a vertical integration business model, which basically means that the company does everything itself or as much as it possibly can. And that starts with owning their own cows on their own farms that they milk, turn into that milk that you see in the store shelves. They distribute everything themselves. They have this massive 90-acre operation in La Crosse where they're able to make all of this happen. And it makes you wonder. I mean, definitely companies can find success in different ways, but this is clearly working for Quick Trip.
Oh, very much here. And you know, what you didn't have here in Wisconsin before Quick Trip really got to be ubiquitous was something like this in other parts of the country. There are parts of the Atlantic seaboard or the northeastern part of the state where, like, there's a chain called Wawa. I mean, that is the thing. Everybody knows where their Wawa is. Iowa is big about Casey's. Casey's, I don't know if they call it general store or what it is. And they're starting to move into Wisconsin now bit by bit. And then there are a few others that you can look up as well. And again, some of these chains just get big enough and, you know, you don't get big without having certain, you know, qualities about you that make you seem plugged into the region. So, you know, again,
they really have to have that quality product too. Mm-hmm. Like Casey's is known for its taco pizza, which is really an innovation that it created. Quick Trip, of course, known for those Blazers. That's the number one selling product.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Casey's also for their breakfast pizza. I don't want to hear from Jesse O'Point over at the Cap Times, who is Wisconsin's probably brand ambassador for Casey's breakfast pizza. So, Jesse, I got that plug in for you as well. And there's a billboard up here in Chippewa Falls that I was not expecting to see a split billboard between two big Wisconsin companies. But it's got to be the most Wisconsin billboard ever because half of it is for Quick Trip and the other half is for Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
Culver's and Quick Trip on one billboard.
Well, my other guess would have been Spotted Cow. Like, that's, oh, sure. That's pretty much the trifecta.
That pretty much is it. So to make the transition to our third story here on The Uplift is to say there are some things Quick Trip doesn't have, but who knows, maybe someday they might add a bookstore. They might add a wing to that. But instead, we're going to talk about the independent bookstores that still are out there, thankfully, are still a thing. And they get a nod of appreciation this week.
Yes. So the last Saturday of every April is National Independent Bookstore Day. So that falls this Saturday. And it's just a great time to support your local indie bookstore. You know, anyone that's not Barnes & Noble, basically, or you know, books a million, just the ones that are unique popping up in your own town. And I talked to a few owners of Madison's bookstores where I'm based, and I wanted to get some recommendations. I'm a big reader, but I know not everyone is. So I came prepared with a few book recommendations for people who love to read and then people who might not love to read. So most, well, first, Pat, I have to ask you, what's your favorite book currently?
Well, we just had, just yesterday, we had John Kinville on, who was a teacher here in Chippewa Falls, who wrote this story about Chippewa Falls' first casualty of World War II in Pearl Harbor. The one before that was Ruth Conniff, now over at the Wisconsin Examiner, who wrote Milked, a great story about all of the immigrants who work on Wisconsin dairy farms. And recently we had Matt Rothschild on from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with his 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. So I've had a list of, shall we say, small independently published books with a Wisconsin flair to them.
Well, that's even better that you have the Wisconsin connection. A lot of the books that I'm going to mention are kind of national bestsellers now, but some of the biggest that are good for anyone, whether you're a lifelong reader or you're just looking for an engaging book to read. The Paris Apartment by Lucy Foley and Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garbus. Those were the most recommended books, and I actually read both of them myself. Can confirm they're definitely page turners. One that stuck out to me that I just read the description, I thought was very interesting and timely from a news perspective, is called Stalin's War on Ukraine. And it kind of goes back to the history of how the current crisis could have happened, but it's told in like a compelling page turning way. I think that would be interesting if you're obviously listening to this program because you're invested in the news. And then some of the top recommendations that I was told for non-readers that will definitely grab anyone's attention. It's called Crying in H Mart or Educated. Those were the top two recommendations. But I'm going to have all of these posted on our website and in a current newsletter edition. So if anyone is ever looking for anything to read, you can also just reach out to me as well. My first job actually was shelving books at the library. And I got in trouble, Pat, because kids would come up to me because they'd see me on the ground putting the books in the bookshelves and they'd ask for recommendations. And I was like 15 at the time. And the protocol was I was supposed to direct them to the actual librarian. But of course, being closer to their age, I took it upon myself to recommend. I wasn't telling them they should read books. I was just recommending what was good that I had recently read. And my mom is a reading teacher. So I do feel like I have a little bit of credibility on this, but I got in trouble several times.
Look at you being a rebel in the library. Does this also make you one of the few people left who can explain the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes, I am. I do know it very well. I can tell you that everyone shelving books in libraries fought over who didn't have to deal with that because it was a lot more chaotic. I preferred to shelve children's books.
Rightly so. Christina Lorie, and that's her email. Christina Lorie, all one word, and her last name is spelled L-O-R-E-Y. At upnorthnewswi.com. Send her your uplifting news tips, your questions, maybe some photo guesses too. That newsletter now has a photo guessing game. Did we mention that last week? I can't remember about where in Wisconsin are we?
No, I was kind of trying to do a soft launch of it. We've just been doing at the top of the newsletter. It sounds very elementary when I explain it, but I promise it's cool if you check it out. Mm-hmm. It's a super close-up picture of some place in Wisconsin, and then at the end, we'll reveal where it is and why you should visit, some actually helpful information about it. But it's fun because I know a lot of you claim that you are lifelong Wisconsinites, so now is your time to prove it.
That's right. With a very unique photo guessing game. Again, look for it in the daily newsletter. UpNorthNewsWI.com is where you sign on. Christina, thanks so much for a little uplift for getting our Tuesday going. We appreciate it.
For having me. Have a great day, everyone.
And did you catch the mistake that was in there? And if John Kinville is listening, please, I hope I didn't cause a heart attack. You are our guest next hour. At some point when I was talking to Christina, I had it in my head that we were talking to John Kinville on Monday. It's actually Tuesday. It's coming up this morning at 7:30. So hopefully you will stick around for that. And again, our appreciation to Christina for writing up the newsletter. Again, this morning's newsletter includes more than two dozen legislators talking about their perfect day around their district or in Wisconsin. And also a little note about President Biden's record as a job creator. Which takes me to one more story before we pause, and then we'll come back with our music break and history lesson. And it's this headline from the Washington Post. Biden is running out of time to avoid calamitous debt ceiling outcomes. I'm sorry, what? Biden's running out of time to avoid calamitous debt ceiling outcomes? Who's holding the hostage here? Who's holding the economy hostage here? We know who it is. And as much as people would like to say that it's up to President Biden to save Republicans from themselves, that's not how this works. Congress has a constitutional obligation not to default on America's debts. But Speaker Kevin McCarthy is continuing to vow to shoot the hostage, even though there's a new report in from Moody's Analytics that says McCarthy's spending cut plan would increase the likelihood of a recession and result in 780,000 fewer jobs by the end of 2024, as opposed to just fixing this and growing the economy more than 2% instead of about 1%, as the McCarthy plan would do. All right, we'll take a break. More after this. You're up north.
Darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon.
Of course, is Ella Fitzgerald, who was born on this day in 1917, so 106 years ago. She passed away in 1996. That was How High the Moon, from the legend that is Ella Fitzgerald. Sad to say, also on the calendar, today would have been Len Goodman's 79th birthday. As you know, he passed away yesterday, the legendary judge from Dancing with the Stars and Strictly Come Dancing in the UK. Len Goodman, born on this day in 1944. A happy 83rd birthday to Al Pacino. Al Pacino, 83 years old today. I mean, listen to this roster. The Godfather movies, Scent of a Woman, Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, Donnie Brasco, Any Given Sunday, Scarface, and Justice for All. Yeah, for the third person in a row, I'm going to use the word legend. Again, just we are lucky to be surrounded by people with that much talent. And Al Pacino turns 83 today. Number one song on this day in 1970 was from the Jackson 5. Their rendition of ABC dethroned the previous number one song, was Let It Be by the Beatles. All right, I'm going to let this play in the background and pick up with the other music stuff in just a second, but I did promise you 4 Brewers tickets to tonight's game against Detroit. So if you are able to grab 3 other folks and go to the Brewers game tonight, and if you can have the tickets emailed to you, you just need to tell me, be the first one in to call at 844-967-2789 and tell us, in 1987, who set the record for the Brewers with a 39-game hitting streak. Yeah, I know. But look, if you want the tickets, then call the number, 844-967-2789, who had a 39-game hitting streak for the Brewers in 1987, the longest streak since Joe DiMaggio had his big one. All right. 844-967-2789. 4 tickets to tonight's game. And if nobody picks them up, we'll just give them to Todd Alba and he'll give them away on his show coming up after 8 o'clock. All right. Back to the music lesson and history for today. In 1987, U2 began a 9-week run at number one with their 5th album, The Joshua Tree, which included Where the Streets Have No Name. Also, from 1994, a jury ruled that Michael Bolton's 1991 hit, Love is a Wonderful Thing, had plagiarized the Isley Brothers' 1966 song of the same name and awarded $5.5 million in damages, the largest ever in a music plagiarism case. Now, I would play those two songs, you know, on top of each other and let you determine that, but it would mean that we were playing a Michael Bolton song on the show, and I'm just not prepared to do that for today. And one more note from this day in 1992, Criss Cross The rap duo of Chris Kelly and Chris Smith scored a number one hit, even though they were just 13 years old, with this forgettable tune. Okay, it was new and novel at the time. Please stop. Bring that. It gets stuck. The artist formerly known as Kanye West on this day in 2018 first tweeted about his love for Donald Trump, prompting tons of memes from the former president's response. Thank you, Kanye. Very cool. By the end of the day, Kanye had sent 82 different tweets about his love for Donald Trump and our continuing concern about his well-being. I see that Aaron is talking with somebody about whether they can use some tickets and can tell us who on this Brewers team set the record for a longest hitting streak back in 1987. It looks to be Andrew from Lake Mills. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great here. I'll be even better if I can give away four tickets to tonight's game, if you could use them, and if you know who had that record hitting streak in 1987.
It is the great Paul Molitor.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Andrew. And I obviously appreciate that you're able to put those tickets to use. Who do you want to use them with? Do they even know yet? Or do you even know yet who are going to be your new friends tonight?
Well, my dad, for sure. They just got back from Florida a couple days ago. They're snowbirds, so I'll take my dad and probably brother-in-law and my nephew.
That's great. Okay, so glad we can put those to work. And again, forgive me for gushing, but these are some really nice club-level seats. Do enjoy them. Drive safe and have fun at the game tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, Andrew from Lake Mills. If Aaron didn't get your email address, hang on the line. Otherwise, if he did, we will just continue on with phone calls. Mark from Prairie du Sac is here. We were talking a bit ago about Speaker Kevin McCarthy not really following up on his constitutional duties and playing chicken with the debt ceiling and with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, you're perfectly correct there that and the media that is reporting on that actual constitutional duty is correct. 14th Amendment Section 4 says that you have to obey that the debt shall not be questioned. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but it's interesting that these guys who couldn't listen to the Constitution, pay attention to the Constitution in the first place, referring to Section 3 with the whole insurrection thing, ignoring Section 4 of the same amendment. That's not supposed to be questioned, period. And Biden should just say, you guys already authorized these payments. We're going to pay our debts and just ignore it. Ignore is the right word, but just challenge them at each opportunity to say, Constitution requires the United States to pay our debts, period. End of story. And you guys get off the ball. Otherwise, you just, call them out as the oath breakers that they are, period. Maybe that's a little too harsh and maybe that's a little too confrontational. But maybe a little confrontation is what they need at this point in time.
I think you're right, and unfortunately, this happens far too often, where there's this double standard, where we expect Republicans to be the villains, the bad guys, and it's the Democrats who always have to ride to the rescue, save the economy, save essential services, and what have you, and so. As you can see, the media is already turning toward Biden to say, do something. It's not his job to prevent this, where Republicans plenty of times in the past have gone too far with their extremism, have heard the howling from the voters, have had to back down on plenty of budget fights before, because that's the responsible thing to do. We just talked about it with the legislature earlier this hour, is the need to work together. It's fine to have an opinion. It's fine to have values, Democrats, Republicans alike. But when it's your job to actually craft a budget, state your position, then get down to negotiating, and let's get this thing done already. A Chippewa Falls teacher and author John Kinville is going to join us in our next hour. He's written a book about Chippewa Falls World War II hero Harry Kramer, about a life in the Depression pre-war. And we'll talk to him coming up in our next hour. You're up north.